And good morning. Welcome to another edition of Health Essentials this nice Saturday morning. If you would like to join me on the radio, there is a phone line that is officially open. It's 903-586-5257. Obviously, I have a bias toward any remedies that help support healing and health and restoration. And you know, and for all I know, you're struggling right now. And you're due for a major breakthrough if you will just stay the course. But you also, it's important to do things that are correct and right to allow your body the chance to heal itself. You probably wouldn't be listening to this program if you did not believe that God has designed the body for healing and repair. Let's go to our phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. Have you ever heard of caffeine making bones brittle or causing joint pain?
Yeah, I have.
You have?
Well, and let me explain why. A lot of times people say, what do I do to cause bone loss or osteoporosis? And this is just one idea. But if you do lose bone at a faster rate than what your body can rebuild it or replace it, or lay down new bone is what I'm trying to say, then the bones can hurt very, very easily. I've seen it over and over and over again. You don't have to have a junk food diet to do that. It'll do it. But caffeine has been shown in many studies to cause bone loss to accelerate. And every human being is just a little bit different from another one. So a certain level of caffeine can do that for one person, but it may not do it for the other. Does that sort of make sense?
Yes, it does. It's hard to live without it.
Hard to live without
not
caffeine?
Impossible. Yeah, it's not impossible.
Just well, what's your favorite source of caffeine?
I eat coffee beans a lot of times.
You eat the coffee beans?
Yeah, I'll just eat a tablespoon of them and go on about my day.
Does this come from your time in Brazil when you were a missionary in the cocoa coffee plantations?
No, but green tea is good too. But I think that it all affects me the same way. I start cracking and popping in my joints hurt, and then it takes a couple of weeks of being off for it to go away.
One of the things that I would mention, you would agree with me that we're all very biologically unique, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, don't you see some people, they eat Snickers and they drink soda waters and they eat junk food and they look like they are the most athletic specimens on earth, and you're thinking to yourself, that is not fair. I mean, I have to try really, really hard to look good, and they do it without any effort. Well, they just won the genetic lottery, evidently, and they've got the right balance of everything. Now, they know as well as you and I do that drinking soda waters and eating Snickers all day long, that's not going to produce long-term good health. It just can't.
Right.
I mean, sugar's destructive. And that's where one of the things, I think the caffeine deal has to do with how well a person tolerates stress. And maybe what I'm getting toward is, you know what it's like living inside of your own body and the thoughts that you have, right?
Right.
Would you ever say that your mind continually goes back to difficulties from your past, where you'll think about them over and over again?
I'm supposed to be memorizing scripture in the shower, because that's when it's the worst.
So when you're in the shower, that's when you're all the old thoughts and stuff comes back to haunt you, right?
Yes.
Well, those are the people that I think caffeine's probably the most deleterious for, but I think we're all hardwired that way.
Mm.
Is there a particular scripture that you're saying to yourself over and over again that means something to you?
No, but I'm just starting a program.
To
start memorizing.
Oh, I'm so proud of you. Way to go.
Yeah.
Is it hard for you to memorize scripture?
It is. But the ones that I did years ago, I still have. So.
Oh, you mean you've retained them?
Yes.
All right. Way to go.
It's just difficult to discipline myself to get into that process.
But you do have the want to, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you have the desire and the motivation.
Some motivation.
Do you know what I, read the other day? The word motivation comes from the Latin word which means to move. And see, to me, that's very helpful. If you're moving in a good direction towards something that you really want, how could you be criticized for that? I don't think that you can. I think it makes a difference when you're trending or moving in the right direction. So, man, it sounds like you got a good start here. I'm really proud of you.
Well, thank you. I've been caffeine free before, but then I go back and forth.
Well, I think that there's a good chance you're the only person that's going to call on the radio today and say that you eat a handful of coffee beans. I don't know if I've ever had a phone call quite like that. Well, let me ask you this. Can you be satisfied with a cup of coffee?
Yes.
Do you think that you can make the coffee a little bit weaker than normal? Or how do you like to make your coffee?
Well, I don't know if I could be satisfied. I have an addictive type personality.
You're the only person on earth that does. I can't believe I've got the only one right now. Are you kidding? Every human being on earth is addicted to something. I mean, have you ever seen people in the grocery store? You can tell real quick. People are hardwired and addicted towards sugar. There's just no way around it. All of us are.
Yes.
So, when you drink coffee, though, do you drink organic coffee?
I'm not sure.
Well, you know, that would be one thing, and this might be a slight distraction, but coffee is one of the highest chemically sprayed crops on the planet. Mm. I need you to hold a mental image of a 25 crop dusters swooping down over the mountain pass in the valley so they can spray it. No, I'm just joking about that, but they're sprayed pretty heavily. So at the very least, if you do switch to like an organic coffee, all I was going to say is maybe you could do one spoonful of regular organic coffee and one of decaf.
There you go.
And sometimes with the decaf, they'll use a substance called carbon dioxide to help mm-hmm. diffuse and separate the caffeine. But they do not throw the caffeine away. Oh, no, no, no. They want that. They sell the caffeine to manufacturers of drinks called Pepsi Cola and Mountain Dew and Coca-Cola.
Okay.
And probably Dr. Pepper.
Right.
Because it's very valuable. It gives you a little bit of a boost.
Yes.
But I don't want to say that all caffeine is bad. If you're driving, you know, to your grandmother's house at 2 o'clock in the morning and you're sleepy, believe me, I want you to be alert and awake and not end up in the ditch because you fell asleep or have a wreck.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm going to go sparingly then.
Yeah, and the other thing that I'm going to suggest to you, this is going to be a weird thought, but I just want you to follow me for a second, and you're welcome to question anything I say, and that's fine. You've heard of some of the oldest people that live anywhere on the planet live in Japan. Have you heard that before?
Right.
And they've discovered that their diet, by and large, is very low in calcium, and it's very low in iron. And they're saying now that maybe because of the lower levels of calcium and iron in their diet, they actually live longer because their bodies don't rest as much and they don't have as many joints that snap, crackle, and pop. And one of the things that I think of, if you tell me that your joints snap, crackle, and pop when you have more caffeine, I would venture a guess that it's generating some inflammatory response where you're having calcium precipitate around the joints. And so sometimes I think in terms of two things. When you consume caffeine, it may deplete you of two or three things very, very quickly. Number one, there is a mineral that most Americans are low in called magnesium.
Right.
And I would say you've got to have magnesium in order to help your body produce what's called dopamine. Have you ever heard of dopamine?
Sure, yes.
I think that's where they get the word dope from, anything that stimulates dopamine production. So if you were to, not you, okay, this is just theoretical here, if somebody used an illegal drug like crack cocaine, that would just crazily increase dopamine levels for a brief moment. But the problem is, that's completely unproductive because that feeling that you get, that high, is only momentarily fleeting. And then a short time later, you just want to start the whole process all over again. Thus, things like, cocaine and heroin and methamphetamines, all those are highly, highly addictive.
Right.
Probably even alcohol and marijuana to some degree. The more toxic something is, the more addictive it is. But when you consume the coffee beans, the caffeine, it may be exposing a low level of magnesium. And so that's one thing that I would probably gently nudge you toward. If you'll start taking extra magnesium, just tell me if your bones start feeling better and your joints snap and crackle and pop less. The other thing that I would look at is a vitamin called vitamin K2. Under normal circumstances, when people, you know, used to eat more fermented foods, and so this may be kind of gross, but I don't have a problem with it. The way that people used to make sausages, they would stuff it into the casing or the lining of intestines of animals.
Right.
And they would just, like, hang it up and let it kind of ferment. You're almost thinking about, okay, now that I've grated it or chopped up the cabbage, I'm going to let it soak and set for a while so it can ferment and turn into sauerkraut. Or if somebody took milk and let it ferment, and over time it would turn into, what, yogurt or cheese or something like that?
Sure.
But there's a transformational process to where when those ferment, the B vitamin content goes up and the vitamin K2 vitamin goes up, and those are usually the nutrients that are depleted rather quickly from maybe an intolerance to caffeine. And there's, I mean, you could say what came first, the chicken or the egg. So I'd say natural B vitamins might be your friend, magnesium and vitamin K2. And you might tell me that there's a pretty good turnaround with your bone health and your joints feel better and you have less snap, crackle, or pop.
That's great. Okay. I'll try that.
Good deal. Well, thanks for your phone call. I enjoyed every bit of it.
Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. Have a good day, man. Bye.
Bye.
All right. There's a phone line officially open at 903-586-5257 if you want to call me on the radio. I have a chart in front of me, and you're just going to have to take my word for it because this is radio, it's not TV. Wait, we have a phone call. I'll come back to it. Good morning. Thank you very much for your phone call. How are you?
I'm good, sir. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
And I'm sure you've had this question many times, but what is the best natural remedy for high blood pressure? Or diet, I guess.
I think what I'm going to choose to say is there's a hormone that your body produces called insulin. Have you ever heard of insulin before?
Yes, sir.
And so I would say anything that causes your insulin levels to go higher is going to, you know, cause your arteries to become hardened and stiffened. And that's just a tremendous oversimplification, but let me say it this way. If somebody, say, is 57 years of age and they notice that, you know, their head hurts occasionally and they don't feel right and they can just tell there's just too much pressure, and they check their blood pressure and they say, well, no wonder I felt this way. My blood pressure is 165 over 99. Well, that would be a pressure that's asking for trouble down the road because your arteries, over time, can only handle so much pressure. Now, my son and I were watching a weightlifting competition this week, and a man was attempting to deadlift, maybe 1,000 pounds. That's just an incredible amount of weight. But when we were watching him, I saw something I've never seen before. As he was lifting that heavy weight, all this blood started gushing from his nose. You know what I'm saying. All his blood vessels were just bursting under extreme pressure. And so that's a different scenario. You're not deadlifting 1,000 pounds this morning, are you?
No, sir.
Okay.
But I am 57, and my blood pressure was 155 over 96.
Well, see, I'm a pretty good guesser. That's 2 out of 3, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
And so what you're looking at is you're looking at trying to lower your insulin levels, and there's going to be a way to do that. And so do you mind if I just give you a breakdown of what I want you to think of?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay. I think there's a lot of ways that we can approach this, but I can say anything that would lower your insulin level is going to start to reverse the trend of causing your arteries to become harder and stiffer. And so I think you already have the concept sealed in your mind that anything that causes your heart to work harder because your arteries are stiffer, they're not as pliable and supple and flexible as they used to be, is going to make your blood pressure go up. So we want to reverse that. So number one, there's a concept called cannibalism. Have you ever heard of it before?
Yes.
I'm really just sort of joking, but this is what happens if a person buys into the idea of what's called intermittent fasting. Have you ever heard that term before?
Yes, actually, I've heard you say it before.
Okay, cool. Well, so here's an example, and there's a lot of ways that you can do this. You can do it either way that you want. You could say, all right, I'm really interested in eating a high-quality breakfast and a really good lunch. If you only ate those two meals a day, let's just say you had your lunch at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, your breakfast at 7 a.m., if you didn't have anything to eat after 2 o'clock at lunchtime, from 2 o'clock in the evening till 2 o'clock in the morning, that's exactly 12 hours of fasting. And during that time, you could drink absolutely all the water that you want. Water doesn't create any insulin response. It's good for the body. It's free. It doesn't present any problems that I'm aware of. From 2 o'clock in the morning till 7 o'clock in the morning, that's 5 hours. And so 5 plus 12 is 17. So if you're fasting for 17 hours a day, you're going to create a situation where the longer that you go without food, that's where your insulin levels drop lower and lower and lower. And so you're just retraining your body to lower its insulin level. And so the lower your insulin, the less stiff your arteries are, and you start to reverse that. And maybe you don't want to do it that way. Maybe you say, I'd like to skip breakfast and just have lunch and supper. It works the same way, but it's called intermittent fasting. And so you'll also, do you have any weight that you need to lose?
Yes, I need to lose about, well, let's say I'm about 237, and maybe I should be down around 200, give or take.
Okay, you probably have a fairly muscular athletic build, don't you?
Not too bad.
So, I mean, you have that genetic foundation. God's blessed you. And so if you create the right circumstances, your body's going to return back to its Adonis look, right?
Yes, sir.
That was the Greek that was in love with Aphrodite. I don't think you know about that, do you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you did? You studied Greek literature in school, huh?
I did.
Okay. I did, too. Anyway, to make a long story short, so if you were to engage in intermittent fasting, what you're doing is you're making it very, very easy to lower your blood pressure. So I would say that's a foundational principle. I mean, if you don't do these things, then you're left with all the medicines that they offer, and almost always, at some point, they have to increase a dose or add another medication or try something different. And so before you know it, you're taking six different medications to lower blood pressure, and you're going, okay, there's got to be a better way. So if you can get ahead of the curve on this and reverse it right now, that's going to be in your best interest. So let's go on to plan B here. There are some foods and substances that are just very, very famous for helping to lower insulin levels and reduce blood pressure. So I would say if you're going to eat two meals a day, if you made your food choices more on the lines of eating vegetables that are lower in starch and carbohydrates, and then eating meats that have plenty of healthy fat in them, I would say that's going to be a home run for you. There was a study done years ago, and it was only done with black women. And I want to say it was in a county in Georgia. If I'm wrong, I don't think it matters whether it's Georgia or South Carolina, but it was one of those. And they noticed that when black women would eat only one serving of salmon a week, that reduced their risk of having a stroke by 67%. And when I saw that number, I thought, are you kidding me? You mean eating salmon once a week decreases the risk of a stroke by 67%? Well, to me, that's a huge number, because they don't have any drugs on the face of the earth that you can take one time a week and it reduces your risk of a stroke by 67%, do they? I haven't discovered them.
I haven't seen that.
And so I think that if you bought into this and said, you know what, I'm going to eat real food that God has made, and He's made fish. So I know that your wife is probably thinking about sending you and probably me to supervise you on a trip to Alaska so we could fish for trout and salmon. I mean, I think it's the least we can do to help everybody, right?
Oh, absolutely. Let's go.
Okay, just make sure we get first-class tickets and accommodations. Are you kidding? I would totally be willing to rough it out in the woods somewhere to go to Alaska and fish for salmon. That would be awesome. Probably the most delicious fish we're ever going to eat. And so if you could eat fish a couple times a week and you could focus on vegetables, the vegetables that are higher in, that are a good source of sulfur, oh, those are the ones that are home run for you. And that's going to be onions and garlic and kale and asparagus, Brussels sprouts, broccoli, cabbage and cauliflower. I told a woman yesterday, we're trying to get the kids to go from eating French fries to something else. I said, have you ever been to, like, Drug Emporium? They sell these packages of what are called cauliflower tots. I don't know if you've seen those before. They take cauliflower and they just shape them into, they look like tater tots.
Huh.
You bake them in the oven, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, these are very low in starch and sugar, and they have a good base of sulfur. Now, I know I'm being a little bit philosophical here, but I always think is sulfur is one of the most overlooked elements that's found in nature that we need to be strong and healthy and radiant. And so sulfur is so good for good blood flow and so good for circulation. So when you eat, when you choose to eat things like cauliflower rice or cauliflower mashed potatoes or cauliflower, I just think that's awesome. I have never tried a cauliflower crust pizza. Have you?
No.
I'd be willing to.
Yeah, the recipe for cauliflower bread.
Never seen it or tried it, but yeah. I'm willing to. And so if you would just pay attention to those low starch vegetables, eat two meals a day, meat and vegetables, include some fish, I think you're going to be moving the right direction as far as the nutrients that seem to be most beneficial. Well, I may have mentioned magnesium and vitamin K2 to the gentleman that called earlier.
Yep.
Those are almost always lacking when there's arterial stiffness, meaning blood pressure is going up to like, you know, 155 over 96. And plus, those numbers, they probably tell me that you got just a little bit of stress from some source.
Oh, yeah.
And so what we want to do is we want to make sure that you can deal with it and not have a catastrophic failure breakdown. So there's an herb called hawthorn that is going to be really, really hard to beat. I was reading an article from a symposium from Kyoto, Japan this morning about 5:30. I'm sure you're real interested in that. It was all about extracts that come from the bran of rice. And they were saying back in the 1600s, which is a long time ago, but they were using rice bran oil to treat all manner of diseases very, very successfully because they were so nutrient dense. But there is a substance that's found in rice bran. It's called inositol hexaphosphate. And sometimes for short, they'll label it IP6, like capital I, P, and then the numeral 6.
Okay.
IP6 is very, very interesting to me. Because when a person has plenty of it, usually their arteries are very supple and very flexible, and they have tremendous protection against heart disease. And so if you make it to the age of, 97, which is only, 40 more years for you, right?
Yes, sir.
I bet you have a lot of stuff you want to do over the next 40 years, don't you?
Absolutely.
Name one thing that you'd love to do if you could retain your health and be strong and radiant.
I still want to run the Boston Marathon.
Do you really?
That's been my goal for my life.
Really?
I want to finish the Boston Marathon, yes, sir.
Have you run a marathon before?
I've not. I ran a half marathon.
How'd you do?
I did good in my age group. I won first place, but that was 20 years ago.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter. That's cool.
Not bad. Yeah.
See, there, you're a winner. I bet you have a great attitude toward this, don't you?
Oh, absolutely.
Well, all we have to do is just turn this around. We're going to make your arteries, the lining of your arteries, a bit younger.
That's what
it's all doable. Yeah. I have an article I'm going to read to you about blueberries in just a second. It answers the question that you're... Actually, I'll read that right now. But is that good for so far?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay,
absolutely.
Good. Thanks for your phone call, buddy. Appreciate you.
All right.
Take care, man. Bye.
You too. Bye.
Let me know how it turns out. This comes from a randomized, double-blind, placebo-controlled clinical trial. The article's called Daily Blueberry Consumption Improves Blood Pressure and Arterial Stiffness in Postmenopausal Women with Pre-Stage 1 Hypertension, which I know you don't want to be overly technical, but let me read this to you. And who knows, it may give you something to help yourself or somebody else. Researchers have found that daily blueberry consumption may reduce blood pressure and arterial stiffness. And that's kind of what I touched on earlier. Anything that reduces arterial stiffness is going to be a home run. And it says this may be due at least in part to increased nitric oxide production. The study was an 8-week randomized double-blind placebo-controlled clinical trial with 48 postmenopausal women who had pre- and stage 1 hypertension. The study leaders randomly assigned participants to receive either 22 grams of freeze-dried blueberry powder or 22 grams of control powder. It does not say, or it did not say, what the control powder was. And for all I know, it was blue like blueberry powder, but it was not blueberries. Postmenopausal women were studied because they have a high prevalence of hypertension, and they often develop arterial stiffness, which increases cardiovascular disease risk. The researchers stated that increasing numbers of people prefer natural therapies. Oh, that's an understatement. After getting sick on drugs and having side effects, who could blame them? That was my ad-lib there, sorry. The research team was aware that in in vivo studies and a limited number of clinical studies, they've demonstrated the anti-hypertensive and vascular protective effects of blueberries. The researchers tested and evaluated resting brachial systolic and diastolic blood pressures, as well as arterial stiffness in women. They also measured a lab value called C-reactive protein, and then nitric oxide, and also a substance called superoxide dismutase at the baseline, which means before they actually started taking the blueberries or the placebo, 4 weeks, and also the 8-week mark. After 8 weeks, systolic and diastolic blood pressure and brachial ankle pulse wave velocity were significantly lower than baseline levels and in the blueberry powder, whereas there were no changes in the group receiving the control powder. Nitric oxide levels were also greater in the blueberry powder group. Have you ever heard of a drug called Viagra or Cialis? Well, the reason it works is because it increases the body's production of nitric oxide. Healthy, well-nourished arteries generate nitric oxide for you. That helps open up the arteries. You increase oxygen delivery, nutrient delivery. You enhance the ease of blood flow. Obviously, nobody wants to have stiff, hard, calcified arteries where the blood is thick and gunky and dirty and sticky, and it moves slow and doesn't carry enough oxygen. No, nobody wants that. That's a recipe for disaster. My son and I were in the parking lot the other day, and we watched a gentleman walk into a store, and he had shorts on. It was a warm day, but you could see just tremendous, it's almost like a crimson red pigmentation and rust deposits, almost like a brownish red color, all up and down his legs. He said, "Dad, what is that?" And I said, "That's diabetes, son." And so what you have is, those are called microvascular infarctions. And so when you start to see the discoloration of the leg, you're worried that, okay, everything's breaking down. Better do something. Good morning. Thank you for your phone call.
Good morning.
How are you, ma'am?
I'm doing real good. I was listening to your show, and I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
I am a diabetic, and type 2 diabetic, and I take a lot of insulin. And my question is, if I get on the keto diet, which my diabetic doctor says not to do, will that help me? Because I cannot lose weight for nothing, and I'm over 200 pounds, and I'm only 5'3".
Okay. What do you think your doctor said not to do, the ketogenic diet?
Well, after reading a keto diegetic book that I have, and it telling me all of the things that it will help my body to retain and to get rid of all the inflammation and everything in my body, sounds to me like she doesn't want me to get well.
Well, I think that you're an incredible woman. You are a very curious girl. You're not willing to any longer keep going on the course that you're on, and you're probably talking to yourself going, I can't keep doing this forever because I'm not really losing weight or I'm not seeing results. But you want to live, don't you? And you want your body to serve you well, and you want to feel good. So I'm so proud of you.
I just turned 60 in October, and I am so tired of being overweight.
All right. Well, I'm going to do everything I can to help you, but first things first. every cell in your body, whether it's a muscle cell, but that's probably what I should focus on is your muscle cells, they have what are called insulin receptor sites. And right now, because you're taking, because you have type 2 diabetes and you're taking the insulin, your body is dealing with what's called insulin resistance. And so there's two or three things that I want to kind of cover with you, because I want you to be able to get a great result here. We've got to find a way that's doable where you can start exercising on some level every single day. And that might look like, it might look like initially is 5 minutes on an exercise bicycle. But we've got to do something to help improve how your cells respond to insulin. And exercise is by far and away the number one way to reset all these insulin receptors to where they can start accepting sugar and protein a little bit easier and better. And so with the ketogenic diet, what you're doing is, I know this sounds kind of nutty and crazy, but what would you say is the perfect food of all time for a brand new baby that's just been born? Well, it's mother's breast milk, right?
Right.
Well, did you know that mother's breast milk is exactly 54% pure fat? And so there you have it right there. Bam. When a baby comes into the world, if they check the baby's diaper or check their urine, they're in ketosis when they're born. That means the dominant calorie that they're converting into energy is fat. Now, I know where your doctor's come from. He's concerned about you developing a problem called ketoacidosis.
Yes, and I've read about that. Your body has to go through it in order to reach.
Well, I would say ketosis, yes. Ketoacidosis, where you go into a coma. No, we don't want to do that. But you know one thing that you could do? This is just for your consideration. I've asked this question to a lot of people that are diabetic. I'm not a diabetic, so I can't speak with authority, but I've seen it just hundreds of times. They actually sell meters that can very accurately read what your ketone levels are. And the form of ketone they're going to measure is called, I just had on the tip of my tongue. Oh my goodness, I just lost it. Anyway, that doesn't matter. But they sell these meters, and usually all the great things happen somewhere between 3 to maybe 8 millimoles of, I can't remember what it's called now. It's like a butyrate. What's it called? Anyway, forgive me for not remembering the form of ketone body that's measured, but it's easy for you to look up. But you don't want to go into ketoacidosis where that number comes 20, 21, 22, something like that. So you can very easily do this if you know how. So you can measure your body's own ketone productions. The urinary dipsticks, they really don't work after a couple days because your body keto adapts and gets used to it.
Okay.
And so have you ever heard of intermittent fasting before?
Yes, I heard what you said a while ago.
Well, that's the only way I've ever seen a diabetic lose weight. Believe me, every week I have a new victim. I mean, excuse me, a new person. I was only joking about that. Nobody's a victim. They come in their own free will, and I don't abuse anybody. But you're looking, and a woman came in this week, and I want to say she started out at like 230. Can I say 236 was our starting point? And she came in after a month, and she said, Dr. Morgan, she said, I've done horrible this month. I haven't done anything right. And I put her on the scales, and it said exactly 228 and a half. I said, really? You've done horrible, have you? And so feeling like she had done a horrible job of trying the two meals a day, she still managed to almost lose, you know, a full 8 pounds. And I explained to her, I said, you can't do that unless you do some things right. But that was the one thing that she was trying to do, is the two meals a day.
Okay.
And so if you were to, do you like to consume coffee at all?
I drink a cup in the mornings with my husband, but
believe me, and no one's being critical at all, and I'm not saying coffee's bad, but you've got to put your coffee only with your meals. But if you ate two meals a day based on vegetables and meat, and you didn't snack in between meals at all, your body's going to adapt to that. But if you follow the principles of a ketogenic diet, all you can do is test the waters and see if you have a result. And for all I know, what if you go back in 3 months to your medical doctor and he says, ma'am, how did you exactly lose these 37 pounds here? And why has your hemoglobin A1C gone from 8.7 down to 5.7? And you can explain exactly how you did that.
I'm 5.2, so I want to go lower.
You mean the number one substance thing that you're doing right now that may be sabotaging you, and do not take what I'm saying as criticizing you. I'm not. I'm for you. But insulin, it tells your body in the loudest possible voice, we need you to store fat, don't let go of it for any reason. And so anything that reverses this trend where you don't require as much insulin is going to be a home run for you.
Okay.
I mean, but you're smart, aren't you? If your blood sugar goes down to 60, you're not going to take a dose of insulin, are you?
Of course not. As a matter of fact, yesterday when I got up, it was 84, and I didn't do the insulin.
Okay. Did you feel okay at 84?
I get nervous and jittery.
Well, we're going to have to reset your thermostat a little bit lower over time, but we got to give your body a chance to adapt to this. And so if money were no object, I'd say get in a sauna every single day.
Well, okay.
Are you a multi-zillionaire? You can tell me.
Not hardly.
but you're pretty close, right?
Only no. In the Lord.
Well, that is the unspeakable wealth that no one can ever imagine. That's the greatest wealth of all time, isn't it?
Yes.
You know what I read before? They've tried to evaluate the richest human beings that live on the planet. If you compare the wealth of today's world with the wealth that God gave Solomon, and if I remember correctly, when God came to Solomon in a dream, Solomon did not ask for wealth or for long life or for the death or the destruction of his enemies. He said he needed a discerning heart to judge the people of Israel, right? He asked for wisdom.
And that's
God,
right.
And God gave him, if you look at the amount of gold and everything that he had, he would absolutely top all the richest people that have ever lived on earth. So God is capable of doing anything. I need to remind myself of that more. And so I want you to test the waters, and I want you to play with a ketogenic diet. But, there's always a risk with everything, and you've got to be able to learn and know your body. But I would say, if you start to lose weight and you feel better, wouldn't that be a clue that you're trending or moving in the right direction?
Yes. I also have another question. I know the keto diet says no grain. What about oatmeal?
That's probably the safest one of all time.
I like oatmeal, but it's not anywhere on the diet, and I can't find anything except for kidney beans. What's wrong with, pinto beans?
I don't want to say there's anything wrong. All those are foods that have been used by people for centuries, thousands of years. I don't want to approach it that way. What they're trying to do is they're trying to basically force your body to convert fat into energy, and the only way that you can do that is by reducing the amount of carbohydrates.
Is beans considered a carbohydrate?
It is, yes, ma'am.
Okay, and I was thinking it was a protein.
Well, and what I would probably, and it is, so I don't want to be argumentative, but it has a certain amount of starch to it. And starches are basically a million molecules strung together of sugar that once they hit the stomach, they kind of explode into sugar going everywhere. So I'm not trying to be down on kidney beans or pinto beans, but if you had those, I would have them sparingly.
Okay.
So if you want to have one day a week that you eat barbecue and pinto beans and coleslaw, I'd say, hey, have at it. Enjoy yourself. But I think if you were willing to write down whatever your current weight is and just say, all right, I'm 5'3", what is my ideal weight? I had a gentleman that I experimented on recently, and I don't think he's going to mind me telling the story. I won't mention his name. But when I weighed him on the scales, he was exactly 302.5.
Wow.
And now, in his mind, he really thought of himself as being a very lean, athletic dude. And I did not argue with him on any level. It just doesn't do any good. But he said, hey, look at me. Chicks dig me. This is all muscle, baby. And I'm thinking, okie dokie. But what we did was, We tried, and of course he was saying, all right, I've had several bouts of running to the ER with chest pain, and I've had this problem, that problem, my blood pressure is about to go through the roof, and you know, something's got to give. And so what I did was I started him off on a more of a ketogenic diet, kind of like what we're talking about. And he lost 27 pounds very quickly, but someone at the health food store explained to him how Dr. Morgan is not that smart and how he should be eating gluten-free cereals that they sell. And he gained the 27 pounds back. And the only thing I'm saying, it was all based on oatmeal.
Okay.
And so no one's criticizing you here. I love you. I want you to do well. But he went back. But see, he was so discouraged he wanted to quit. I said, that's ridiculous. Don't quit. We can learn from this. That's what failure is. Just what can we learn from, you know, how can we do it better? And so he went back to it. And then over and over again, he kept breaking through. He just kept shattering his goals. And he finally ended up at 154 and a half.
Okay.
And so he's basically almost half the person that he was. Now, it took a good, maybe, can I say 16 to 17 months for all the skin to draw back up and tighten up where it was clinging instead of just sagging and real loose.
Yeah. And so you don't have to go have surgery and have it all cut off?
No. What you want, you're going to have to be patient.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. There's lots of things you can do to cause your skin to draw back in proper place. Collagen is one of them. So I always think it's very beneficial with a weight loss regimen to take collagen.
Okay.
And one of my favorites is Great Lakes Collagen Hydrosylate.
Okay.
You can order that online, or you can get it at a health food store.
Okay, yeah, health food store. We got one here.
Yeah, where do you live?
Henderson.
Okay, good. If they don't have it, ask them for it. They'll be glad to order it.
Yeah.
But all this is just black and white. These are principles right here. If you follow these principles, it's a given. It's a guarantee. You will lose weight.
Does the apple cider vinegar help with that?
Yes. Yes, ma'am, it does.
Okay. I've got a book that I checked out from the library on apple cider vinegar cures, and it gives you a tonic to take at night before you go to bed of apple cider vinegar, water, and honey.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and says it'll help with your waking glucose levels in the mornings. But with the keto diet, you're not supposed to have honey.
I know, but here's the way I want to answer the question or your statement. I tend to be very, very flexible. Take everything with a grain of salt.
Okay.
If you take the apple cider vinegar with a little bit of honey and you're making progress, who, me, argue with that? There's no way.
Okay.
And so if you're continually getting better and you're improving and your body requires less insulin and you're regaining your strength and your energy, and we have actually, and you've done a good job of retraining your body to start converting fat into energy, which is what you want. Make your body choose to burn fat for energy, because if you do that, that's going to be a home run for you.
Okay.
And so could you imagine what would happen if you consistently lost 8 pounds a month for the next 10 months?
Well, I would love that.
And then you could walk into my office and I'd say, ma'am, who are you? You're 5'3". And you say, remember me? I talked to you on the radio 14 months ago.
I do have an appointment to go see my diabetic doctor in March, and I'm hoping to have some difference.
You will. I guarantee you will. And it'll be a huge stark contrast to where you are now, and it'll be very positive. And there's nothing wrong with you asking the doctor, do you see patients do this all the time where they reverse their diabetes? What is your success rate in helping people completely get off medication? But I have a lot of patients that no longer even require any insulin whatsoever because their body doesn't require it.
Mine is medically induced. It's not in my family.
Well, medically induced because you had some type of
substance. I had asthma real bad when I was young, and they had me on
all those steroids,
prednisone.
Yes.
And ever since then, I've been a diabetic.
Well, bless your heart. See, that's not your fault. You did the best you could. But now you're trying to set a goal that you want to be free of all this, and you're going to fight through it, but you got to have a plan.
Yes.
And so, simple idea, intermittent fasting, that's going to work
okay.
for you.
Okay.
Ketogenic diet, all I want you to do is just play with that and see what happens. But you have to give your body a chance to adapt and to get used to it. And it will if you can just have a clear-cut vision and a goal and a dream. And if your dream is to be 5'3" and 121 pounds, then let me help you get there where you have strength and you have muscle and all your organs are in great working order.
Okay. Thank you very much for
your
information.
You're welcome. You have a great day.
Thank you very much.
Take care in Henderson. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, there's a phone line open at 903-586-5257 if you'd like to call me on the phone. I came across a chart in a textbook. The book is called The Perfect Health Diet. And in this chart, what they do is, this comes from the year 2009, so I realize that's what, almost 10 years old. But to me, it's very fascinating and interesting, and all they do is they plot on a graph the income that people make. So they start at $0 a year, and then they go to $10,000, $20,000 a year, all the way up to 90 or 90 plus, which would be like over $100,000 a year. So they plot income versus the intake of carbohydrates or sugar. It's very interesting. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning. I'm trying to find a natural way to quit smoking. I had quit smoking in 82 and for some stupid reason picked it back up in 89. And I feel like I'm more addicted to cigarettes now than I ever was. And I've tried the Chantix and had really bad, severe, crazy, horrible dreams.
Oh, bless your heart. I believe you totally.
You know, so I was trying to find something that might be a natural way to quit smoking besides putting other chemicals in my body, because I have heard what you said about the, what do you call it, the vape cigarettes that cause them, has a high...
Bladder cancer
and stuff. And also that your blood... I mean, your lungs look like they've got popcorn in them or something. So
yeah.
I have that somewhere.
Well, let me give you some ideas.
Uh-huh.
And don't hold me to a level of perfection, but some of the stuff I'm going to tell you, though, is going to come across as kind of crazy. But just kind of, you know, evaluate everything for yourself. one thing that I would try, there is an organic form of sulfur called MSM.
MSM?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Okay.
And you can get that just about anywhere. If you go into Walmart, if you go into Target, CVS, Walgreens, health food stores, they have MSM.
Okay.
You can try that, and I'm not offering that to you as like a 100% guarantee, but a lot of people that take MSM, they tell me their desire to smoke cigarettes goes down. And so I know what the success rate of Chantix is, and I'm not going to bash it any more than, you know, what the truth is, but it's 25%, which means it's an abysmal failure.
Yeah.
Do you know who Dr. Jordan Peterson is?
No, I don't.
He's got quite a presence on the internet, but he's a Canadian. I might call him a psychologist. If I got that wrong, forgive me, but he's a very, very intellectual dude. But he was giving a lecture about the use of psilocybin and mushrooms and smoking cessation, and they have an 85% cure rate.
Psilocybin?
They're called psilocybin mushrooms. But they have an 85% cure rate over a 3-week period for stopping to smoke cigarettes, or if you wanted to come off heroin, they have an 85% success rate. I can tell you right now, there is no drug. There's no drug treatment that has any cure rate like that in 3 weeks. None. And these are non-addictive, and I think these studies were done from Canada, but what you might want to do is look up for yourself the use of psilocybin. I think it's spelled P-S-Y-L? Yeah. C-I-B-I-N, psilocybin, C-I-N, something like that. If you got on your phone, you said psilocybin, it would come out that way with a P.
Okay, Dr. Jordan Peterson.
Yeah, Dr. Jordan Peterson. But if you'll look that up, and it's just, there's nothing that can compare with this. Nothing.
So do you eat them or do you smoke them?
I can't say. It would be against the law for me to make a comment like that. And you'll find out why once you watch the videos. But to make a long story short, if there is one particular herb that I have found extremely intriguing and beneficial that's legal and you can purchase almost anywhere. But there's an herb called Gymnema. G-Y-M.
G-Y-M-N-E-M-A. M-A, okay.
Gymnema.
Okay.
And so if you can discipline yourself to suck on a tablet of Gymnema before you put a cigarette in your mouth, you're going to tell me if you do that for 2 minutes if it kills your desire to smoke the cigarette.
Okay.
And there is a form of vitamin B3 called nicotinamide. It's like the mirror image of nicotine. But you could take nicotinamide to see if that kills your craving for cigarettes. It's a vitamin B3.
All right.
But you know what nicotine is, don't you?
Oh, yes.
That's kind of a dumb question for me to ask. I'm just so smart this Saturday morning, aren't I? But, that would be the one of the active ingredients that's found in cigarettes or tobacco that causes the addiction. But nicotinamide, if you take that, it can help fill that nicotine receptor slot so that reduces your craving for cigarettes. But those things right there work. And, of course, if you're bold enough to write on a sheet of paper that you want to stop smoking, and you're willing to tell your friends to pray for you and ask God to look upon you with favor and blessing and mercy, then I think your success rate is going to be very, very high.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. I wish you the very best. You can do it, kiddo. You can.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Bye. All right. There's time for another caller. 903-586-5257. In this chart I was just telling you about, they show when people start consuming about 85% of everything they eat from carbohydrates, it's basically pure junk food and soda waters and candy and desserts, their income is nothing. They're dirt poor. I think it's without dispute when I look at this chart, when people start getting into the carbohydrate range around the mid-40s, that equals wealth, baby. Now, you can say this any way you want. Could you say that when you consume more carbohydrates, that means you're going to have less money to do good things with? Yeah. Yeah, the scientific study says it right here. Thank you very much for your phone call. How can I help?
Hi, Dr. Morgan.
This Hello.
How are you?
Good. You sound like a highly intellectual type.
Well, that makes me feel better already.
I'm going to let you do all the talking from here on out.
I heard you talking earlier this morning about calcium and joint pain, and I missed some of the call, but...
Well, talking about calcium that... I said calcium. He said his joints are snapping and crackling and popping, and that's an indication that calcium is building up around the joints where it doesn't belong.
Okay. That's not my issue. I just recently started working for the post office, and I've never had an issue with my hand, but my hands are becoming so painful when I'm working as a rule carrier that I can't hardly do anything after work.
Do you like your job?
Well, it's paying the bills.
Oh, my goodness. See, look, I'm just the master of asking all the wrong questions. I'm sorry. All right. Well, here's what we got to deal with. You've got to be able to use your hands and function at a high level and come home and not have your body destroyed, right?
Right.
Okay. Let me give you some ideas.
Okay.
I don't know. Well, actually, I don't want to step on your toes. But do you mind if I say just a couple things here?
Sure.
What if for the next 3 weeks you tried a very simple experiment?
Okay.
And here's what I want the experiment to consist of. If I can convince you to eat only meat and vegetables and fruit, don't eat any grains and don't eat any refined sugar. If you tell me you need something sweet, sister, I am going to make a bowl of strawberries for you and And we're going to make it look super delicious, and you're going to love it.
I've heard you talk. We might even
sprinkle some monk fruit all over the blueberries for you to make you make them taste extra special. So if you can find a way to do that, we could try that. Now, what I would like you to try, just to help lubricate your hands, do you have any constipation at all?
No.
Okay, any problem with hemorrhoids?
No.
Is your skin real dry?
No.
Well, here's what I'm going to tell you to do as far as supplements. Can you take some cod liver oil every day?
Can I? Yes. Do I want to?
Ma'am, I'm the one asking questions around here. Well, what you want to do is, if you purchase cod liver oil, get the highest quality that you can afford. And what I want you to try is take a double dose of what it recommends. So if it says take 2 or 3 capsules a day, then take 4 or 6, all right?
Okay.
And then I want you to, I want you to take some, there's a spice called turmeric.
Yes.
And usually it'll say on the back of the label that it's standardized to contain 95% curcuminoids.
Mm-hmm. I've heard you talk about this.
Take what the manufacturer recommends on that. Don't exceed that. So if it says 2 tablets a day, just stick with that. Because believe me, whatever you're doing to please me right now. It's more important.
Okay.
Actually, are you kidding me? What would it be like for me if my hands were like toast by the end of the day of work? I'd go, great. This job is the pits.
Yeah, well, and then I've also had problems with just muscle issues, and I had started taking calcium and magnesium, and then I heard that calcium, if you have too much, can
be
causing pain.
Absolutely, every single time. I've seen it over and over and over again. So the other
thing... Should I stop the calcium
supplement? Yes. Please do.
Okay.
I mean, the calcium that you get from eating kale or from eating salmon or broccoli, that's not the problem. It's going to be the limestone and calcium carbonate that they make from, like, rock deposits.
Okay.
I watched an otter on the creek bank the other day. I never saw the otter go over and lick the limestone. It just never happened.
Gotcha.
Actually, that was pretty comical. My son says, Dad, do you see that large otter behind you? And I said, oh, he's pulling my leg. I looked around. There's this huge otter rolling around on the riverbank.
Oh, gosh.
I actually filmed it once it jumped in the water, and it's like going down the stream with it looking at me like I'm nuts. That sucker was huge. But anyway, what you want is you want magnesium and vitamin K2, and you want to start taking some MSM sulfur. And we're going to see if we
can... I take MSM.
Oh, you're a genius. I knew it. Do you eat wheat at all? And I'm just telling you straight up from my experience with dealing with lots and lots and lots of cases of hand pain arthritis, if you do not eat wheat, you're going to see a change for the better. You're going to call me in 2 weeks and you're going to say, Dr. Morgan, I am 1% better thanks to you.
No. Well, because traveling in the car all day, I take sandwiches to eat on whole grain bread.
Well, I want you to start taking apples and tuna fish and celery.
Okay.
I understand that, and it tastes good. I think bread tastes great.
Well, I take apples and nuts and cheese, but I could definitely do.
Well, do you have enough room to where you could take like a cooler to keep some food cool?
Yes.
Okay, then let's do that right there. And I would rather you take pickles as snacks. Doesn't that sound like a great, brilliant plan?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, make chicken salad for lunch and put your nuts and your apples in that and whatever else you want, celery.
Okay.
Celery is really hard to beat when you're trying to clean the blood. So any amount of celery is going to be very good for you. But I would venture a guess that if you give up wheat, you'll tell me that you're a whole new person in 2 weeks.
Okay.
Probably the postmaster is going to call me and say, Dr. Morgan, you're a genius. Could I hire you to consult with the U.S. Postal Department to help us fix all our rural route carriers? And I say, yes. It's going to take $4.2 billion.
That's a whole other
story. Anyway, we're out of time.
Okay.
Thanks for your phone call, ma'am.
Thank you for your help.
You're welcome. I wish you the best. Okay. Have a happy new year.
God bless.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.